Welcome to New Wine Who Dis. Tonight we are venturing into the unknown, looking for some lesser known, off the beaten path wines. I'm Sarah.
I'm Lisa.
I'm Melanie.
We are starting with a wine from Hungary, the Patricius Tokaj Ferment from 2017. So Ferment is the grape. It's a white Hungarian native grape. Tokaj is the region in the northwestern area in Hungary. This region is known for sweet dessert wines and has been a wine region for just about ever. So it's not exactly an unknown region, but I would say it's become very much lesser popular in the past several hundred years. Back in the time of Louis XIV, it was considered the wine of kings. Now, I was kind of shocked to see this Hungarian wine in the wine shop, so I'm super excited to try it. Okay. So yeah, let's give it a smell, everyone.
I'm excited to try it too.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, it's like honey, but also musty.
Yeah, like wet honey.
I feel a little bit of marshmallow.
Oh, I like smell. That. Yeah.
Oh, it's peepee. You know, like the candy on the outside of the peep.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, that's not what I heard. Pee-pee.
It's like, it's peep-ish.
Peep-like. Dash Y.
Pee-pee. It's like P-E-E-P. It's peep-like.
Peep-like. Peep-like, I
in
think
the,
is.
In the fashion of the peep.
Mm, the yellow ones.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, now they come in all.
Well, this is not helping with the pee-pee comment.
But yeah, it's got like, I mean, it is a 2017, which I think is cool, but this grape is known to be super high in acid. That's mm-hmm. what part of like why it was great for the dessert wines. So I think this, you know, it's got ageability. So I'm excited mm-hmm. to see what it's doing after.
So this is 2017.
2017.
Oh, wow.
Okay, should we taste it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. It's kind of really salty.
It's salty and it's like.
There's not much fruit at all.
No. It's like almost a waxy a little, tiny, tiny bit.
Oh, yeah. It is acidic, though. Like my, mm-hmm. and is yeah, there's the still right thing to say. It's acidic. It's making my mouth water.
Mm-hmm. Yes, okay. 100%. Sure. Still, after all, I feel like this could age more.
Yeah. But also, you do get the alcohol a little bit, too. Yeah. Like it's like there in the throat.
Yeah. Definitely really saline.
Like, different.
And it feels like.
Like seashells.
Very fast finish.
I think it's lasting.
It.
Yeah,
I'm still okay. tasting it.
Well, yeah. What are you tasting?
Flavors like sea salt.
Yeah,
like that. Okay. Like a licking a salt bowl. Yeah. Basically. Mm-hmm.
I think there's some lemon actually on the finish.
Yeah, it's the
a little
lemon
more thing. Like lemon pledgy than like fresh lemon. Mm-hmm. But like, it's not until the end that's when I'm like, yeah, where my mouth is watering, and I'm like, yeah,
it's a little stuff. Mr. Clean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Before the magic eraser, you know, like the old gen Mr. Clean.
I do love a magic eraser.
I don't know what is in it.
I don't understand how
I don't
it works.
Understand the technology,
but it's magic.
But it's so good.
But yeah, I think like it's so much sweeter on the nose than on the palate. Mm-hmm. It's really intriguing.
We were talking about a few of the snacks we have today. Mm-hmm. I don't know that any of them would work with this. We have a cheese, which is a cow's milk cheese, brie-like kind of cheese. We have codfish pate with apple. Okay, it's weird.
I'm thinking that might,
could go really nice.
I think that would go lovely. The acid, right, with cod and
apple
with the confit is right. Apples don't have its own fat, but like... I feel like that would go really well with this.
Yeah, and I think the seafood goes along well with, like, yeah, the salty kind of mineralitiness. But
well,
we want to give it a try.
Yeah. This is
bacalao.
La Curiosa, pate de bacalao, con morzana confitada. I really hope I didn't offend anyone with my terrible pronunciation there.
Mm-hmm.
Codfish pate with apple confit. So, weird enough, going into the unknown.
Yes. Although it doesn't smell too fishy. It's kind of just subtle.
Mm-hmm. I don't smell apple.
It's interesting.
I'm okay. I'm good.
It's not bad with the wine. I don't know that
I don't think
particularly care for
it. Yeah, I'm going to just fold that up.
I don't think this adds anything to it. I think this would actually go, maybe a little creme fraiche on there would go well.
Yeah. I want like chives or like an onion.
Yeah.
Or something, it's a little plain, yeah, surprisingly, given all the like
weird
things we were expecting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was, you know, a good experiment.
Oh.
Okay. Well, you know.
Here we know.
Doesn't go with this wine.
No. All right. So this wine, you know, is particular. It mm-hmm. doesn't go with everything. Mm-hmm. Doesn't go with everyone. So who is this wine? Mm. What do we think?
I have a controversial question to ask.
Uh-huh.
If we ever come across a wine that is exactly the identity of one of us at this table,
oh,
do we then name that wine after the person? Like, I feel like that's a really big deal.
I'm scared now because this is a salty, unapproachable wine. And if that's one of us at this table.
I think it's quite approachable. It's just very, like, specific. Salty. Like,
you know. Yeah. Well, I think it's, like, to me, I'm like, the aromas are almost sweet. And so it's, like, to me, very approachable from the aroma side of it. And then you taste it and you're like, oh, this is very different, but not necessarily in a bad way. So I don't think unapproachable is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I say this is like someone you like, you meet in a very specific setting. Like you meet them at like an Orange Theory and you're like, oh, this is this person. And then later you find out that they're actually like a dominatrix or something, you know, like something wild. You're just like, oh my God, I never knew.
Is that someone at this table now?
I'm just saying I had the idea. I don't mean that this is one of us.
Okay. Just but if it were to happen in the happen, future.
Right. Is it appropriate? Do we have that like creative liberty?
I think we got to
say it.
If it's there, we got to say
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Good to know.
If we get offended, it's okay. It's all part of this podcast.
It's part of the process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let me try, but let me try kind of feel like I'm feeling a little masculine on this wine.
Yeah.
But in what way? Right. Because, right. Like,
I think it's the saltiness.
Gender wines. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I think
we do, but I feel like we're gonna get into some muddy water with that.
Well, some can be non-binary, right?
And
some people are male or female, right?
Yeah. Right.
So,
or like, it can
I think
be
it's okay
one gender but have masculine or feminine
okay.
features.
Okay, this is an odd wine, man.
I know.
So you're okay. Go on. You're saying it's masculine.
I think it's just all the salts, but I'm like, I feel like it's like a weathered old like fisherman or something.
You're saying that because of the cod pate.
Yeah, maybe.
It's still
that's
there.
It. It's still there a little bit.
That's
but
why.
That's what I think, it's like, a, yeah. you know, that's the thing. Like, you see him and you're like, oh, he's just like a cute old man. And then you're like, oh my gosh, he's like been lost at sea for years. Right. And now he's back living in his lighthouse. I don't know.
Yeah, like he's got some story.
Yeah, he's got like those crazy stories. And he's, yeah.
And I think, okay, so it does have this honey smell. Mm-hmm. And, okay, I am going to go into a weird little story here. So just be prepared. I worked on a farm in Australia for like 2 weeks. So, and it's Australia. So there were different animals there. And there was a possum that was kind of befriended at the farm. And it's a possum. You wouldn't really think anything of what that smells like or what they're like, but you certainly don't think they smell good, mm-hmm. right? It's a possum, it's an animal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because of their diet, they eat honeydew and all these fruits from the farm, that the possum just smelled sweet and like honey. And he would come around in the evening and he would like sit on your lap if you would let him. And
so maybe this wine isn't
this
possum?
This is like how that.
Can we back up a bit? How close do you have to get to a possum to gather the honeydew aroma?
Like, I mean, he would come and sit on your lap if right. you were okay with it. And he was very soft and adorable.
So is this a domesticated possum?
I was just going to say, this is someone who normally is in the wild, but they're domesticated. So there's like
I mean,
an
it
edginess.
Was a farm, right? And there, you know, it's a farm and he would just wander around. And then evenings, he'd know that people, it was like a working farm, but also for tourists to come and do horseback rides. So the possum knew where the goods were. Like he knew if he came at night, people would feed him fruits, right?
Okay.
Well, I think sweet. That kind of actually ties into like the wine a little bit in that like I was saying, Tokaj is known for this dessert wine. Mm-hmm. And it, like, the dessert wine is called Tokaj Azu, and it's made by the same grape, the ferment grape. But it's one wines that have, like, the been botrycized, so they have that, like, noble rot thing to it. Mm-hmm. And then, like, the whole character of this grape for, like, what it's mostly known for is its sweetness and its amazingness mm-hmm. as a, like, dessert wine. So, but now here is, like, showing this whole other character of it where right. like, we did it in a dry ferment or a dry, fermented it fully dry, and it's still a delicious age-worthy wine. So I think it's, yeah, like, it's, like,
huh.
taking the, like, this is what you expected, but turning it into something new, and there's still, oh. like, a funky,
okay.
interesting story behind it.
Right, so this is, so okay, so if we're going, like, by that process, this wine has a big family, right?
Mm.
Right, and bear with me. So this wine doesn't live where their family lives, right? So they go home and they're like this dessert wine, right? This is the expectation, right? But when they go back, or vice versa, when they go back to wherever they live currently, it's a completely different situation, right?
Yes.
Right?
I like that, mm-hmm. yeah.
So there's like, it's...
There's the like who I am at home
right.
and who I am in my day-to-day life.
Right.
Yeah, very and that's, a duplicity of personality
good
there.
Word.
Yes.
The Gemini. This wine is a Gemini.
Okay,
so
what is the name
yeah,
of that's the weird. Wine? Like, it has to have that Eunice. Duplicity.
Is that a name?
It does sound like urine, and so that...
We're back to that. Oh, my gosh. I don't know. I feel like that's too off the beaten path of a name, even though that's kind of our theme.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
Yeah, I think it has to be a name... I that feel like can a fit both.
Yeah, be cutesy and be like sweet. A nickname, and then like, but not what they are going by
can
anymore.
Can we say Barbie?
No, this is definitely not okay. Barbie.
No. Like, I have Saul in my mind.
Say it again?
Saul.
Mm. Like, Better Call?
I kind of like that.
Better Call Saul.
Yeah, but what's Saul is like.
Could be Sweet Old Solomon. Saul, or it's Salty Saul.
Yeah. And like, I feel like that's an old name. Yeah, like, mm-hmm. person who's like, can have stories. Which I feel mm-hmm. like harkens back to my like.
I think this wine is too like sprightly for a Saul.
That's
Saul
a good
is
point.
Like very weird.
I
you know?
Sort of agree with that. Okay. Yeah. Yes.
Like it's not. It's not. We talk about like the body. It's not like super full body, right? Like
no. Yeah, but it's not a like slow a, lingering.
Right.
It is
Saul
definitely
lingers.
Sprightly. I agree. When you mentioned you know an elderly man, I thought yes, okay, but I felt like it was too. It was very bright. Yes.
Yeah, it still has acid. It still has freshness.
But it's from 2017, so this could be someone who just is young at heart.
Yeah.
This is a tricky
sprightly.
One.
Yeah,
this
I
is
still
hard.
Kind of see it as a older
It does
person.
Remind me of my, like a uncle, great uncle of mine. Whose name escapes me at the moment. It's a terrible person.
Oh, gosh. I feel
what
like
about
this
like could... a Samuel, who he's like Sammy, his family, but like more like
I want two
reserved
names. You know, like someone with two names, like a JP, but who's actually like John Pierre or something mm-hmm. like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a duality there. Like it's cute. Like it's like a BJ or like a JJ.
Right,
like a Johnny Jr.
Yeah, Johnny Jr.
But then,
like a
where's
Mikey.
The salty side?
Well,
then
the
he's
full
just
name.
John.
Yeah, John.
John.
John Valjean.
John Jean Van John. Yeah, right? Like, I feel like it needs, like, there has to be that. Like, there has to be something there. Mm. This is hard.
Mm. I know. It's like.
We don't have a name. We don't have an identity. Let's talk more about what this person does in their day-to-day.
Again, I don't know. For some reason, I'm feeling very seaside.
Yeah.
I think because of the salt. So yeah, like I like the like kind of fisherman vibe because I feel like, again, that's like a like it feels like quaint and cute, but actually like being a fisherman is intensely hard. It's mm-hmm. a dangerous
mm-hmm.
work. So yeah, I'm kind of going down that vibe.
I can. Yeah. But what's a good fisherman name?
It's a French name, though.
Of course it is.
Lucien.
Oh. Mm. Okay.
Which would be, I guess, in English, something more like Lucius.
Lucian. Lucian or Lucius, yeah. So maybe Lucien, or mm-hmm. how do you say?
Lucien.
Or like a Luca.
Luca.
Right? Luca's nice, yeah.
Or like a
Lucas. Ooh, I like Lucas.
Yes, I like that. This is a Lucas.
That's a Lucas.
This is a Lucas.
Like that sounds good, yeah.
Right? Like fisherman, like
mm-hmm.
but he's friendly. From up north.
It sounds young, yeah, but he could also young, be an old name.
Right?
Yes.
He's got a flannel. He dresses it up. You know, like he tries his best. Yeah.
But I think, yeah, like that's the thing. He's worldly.
Right.
And yeah, he came from this big family. No one, yeah, like he's not from fisherman stock.
Mm-mm.
And so he like doesn't, they're like he's learned the trade, but like he's got this other side to him. So yeah. I think that like fits in with the
He
whole.
Also paint. He lives in a lighthouse, but he paints.
Yeah.
Like I feel like definitely. He does really like love, and no one knows this about him. And then like the protagonist of our story meets him one day and stumbles upon his, you know, like I'm writing a book already about this.
You know, this was a really fun start with the like an unusual wine that we had no clear expectation on.
Yeah.
And we've come to find Lucas.
I think we need to be prepared for the unexpected here. That took us longer than normal, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think because we don't, yeah, we're not as familiar with these right. wines or grapes.
So. And they're different. They're mm-hmm. definitely different.
How so, much? Yeah. Do we want to talk about, price point? You guys want to take a guess?
Mm.
I think 35. Mm. Oh, he is Hungarian. Maybe 25.
Okay, I'm going to guess. You guess 25? I'm going to guess 27.
Oh, my God. That's like Price is Right.
Yeah, this is what we're playing, right?
It was 25, actually. Or 24.99.
Oh!
Snuck it on. Yeah, I think, again, it's one of those that, like, it's, you know, a really nice, beautiful, interesting wine with age on it. Mm-hmm. So, like, that could bump up the price point, but I think it's also hard to sell because nobody knows what it is.
Right.
So they got to keep it very middle of the road. And also, I think it's not, I think, yeah, like the dessert wine get real pricey. So I right. think that's where they put those kind of higher price points.
I was going to make a note on texture. It's like velvety, like water. Like I feel like it's like as soothing as water can be, you know, like yes. for mouthfeel.
Yeah, I agree. Like it had, like you were saying, the waxiness, but it isn't like a heavy body.
Right,
so.
Not at all. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why Lucas.
Okay. Lucas, it all.
Sprightly and aged.
Mysterious. Yeah. Lucas.
All right. So cheers.
Cheers to Lucas. This was a good one. For our next unusual find, we have an Armenian wine, a white wine, and I found this wine in the other section of the wine shop, so it's just kind of off the beaten path a little bit. And so it was the only bottle actually left of this. And I was like, this is weird. Either it's been sitting here for a millennia or they only got the one because only one made it into the United States. Right. So bear with me on the pronunciation. Okay. So this is from Veyots Dzor, Armenia. And the grape is Voskat. And this is called the Zul Voskat Klassik. And Zul means pure. And so from what I understand, the winemaker wanted to have like a very pure representation of this indigenous variety. And yeah, that's what we got. 2020 is a vintage, which is known to be a very good year because we just didn't have a lot going on. So yeah, let's try it. Let's smell this
it.
Wine.
Let's
yeah.
smell it. Okay.
Yeah, it's okay. A little different.
But this is like...
It smells like a beer, if you were to walk into the place where they make beer, I guess they call that a brewery. it's, you know, there's like that smell of yeast hanging out.
Yeastiness. There's some yeastiness. I feel like it's like that canned fruit cocktail.
Yeah, like the pears. Yes. Paired. Like, I'm going to say something a bit controversial.
And even some of that metallicness.
Uh-huh. It smells like the spit bucket. Mm-hmm. Up from a wine tasting.
Not wrong.
Mm-hmm. Not wrong, not right? Wrong. Not wrong. It's got the little metallic, the Bain Marie. Yeah,
mm-hmm, I think mm-hmm. the metallic comes through, which is interesting.
Okay.
But then, it's very, like, weirdly fruity, but also not. Like,
where's that? You know, it's that peach. Yeah, you know, in the fruit cocktail, right? Yeah, there was that one cherry, right?
Yes.
That's what I'm getting in this.
I'm sure the machines make sure there's one cherry in every single one.
Yep.
All right.
Can and then wow. in terms of how it looks in the glass, it's very... is that you call it thick you call it viscous?
Viscous. So
yeah, got legs.
She's got some shoulders. She's got some legs. She's a little fuller bodied. They are fuller bodied.
Sorry, I cut you off.
But it is clear.
Is this a natural wine or no? Or I mean, can we even understand from the bottle because it's all in Armenian?
Well,
Not that you're.
I think they went through conventional winemaking. But when you're in an area this old, I think you know it's minimal intervention just by the simple fact that it's Armenian. Yeah. I want to say, yeah. Let's give it a taste. This tastes like your third college party where you already had your first drink and you're feeling good and you're like, I'm gonna mix vodka with like cranberry juice and Minute Maid, and you think you're just crushing drinking.
That is the best description of this wine, right? You just nailed it.
It's a very delightful wine version of vodka cranberry.
Yeah, I mean, because it's not like it was very strong on the nose, and mm-hmm. it's a little more subtle on the palate, but it's still not like that unique. I don't know. It's very like, oh, there's some fruit, there's some alcohol, but nothing's standing out to me. Maybe a little bit, maybe a little bit still on that peachy something.
Yeah.
I think I need it to warm up a little bit.
I would agree.
Yeah, to really taste.
Appreciate it. But does that sound right? Like you finally got the ratio right at the punch bowl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're like, I know how to drink.
I know how to drink.
Mm-hmm. I'm sophisticated.
Right. So you've got like the mixed berry Minute Maid instead of like the fruit punch Minute Maid or something like that.
High class.
Yeah.
I think it still has a lot of that yeasty brewery. This is why I asked if it was natural wine, mm-hmm. because it has those notes when you smell it. And I think you still get those notes when you taste it.
There is like in the hind palate, there is some like beer quality to this. Yeah, you know,
some beer quality, but it's not funky.
Right.
No,
to
it's
me.
Not.
Right.
Not like it's some that you can have that are extremely funky, you know, which I like to call barnyard.
Barnyardy.
I don't know why I call it barnyard, but it's
because it's
like
better than saying manure.
I like to say Central
it's more
Park
sophisticated.
South.
I see. Yeah. I think you are correct.
Yeah.
Although barnyard incorporates some of the animal musk, so really it's a much more complex descriptor.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I'm still sticking with Central Park South. It's a very specific part of the world.
Yeah.
No. But this wine doesn't have that.
I feel like it's very clean.
Yeah, it's
actually
super clean. And it's just like a very, like a touch, like a very pleasant touch of like yeast quality.
You know, and now I'm kind of getting olive.
Yeah, it's like that subtle olive flavor in an olive oil. So it's like a processed olive, not like a fresh olive. It's not as sharp.
It's like that oil. Once you've exhausted the fresh oil in like an herb, it's like that little bit of like, not burnt herb, but there's a quality to the oil, like oiliness that it gets, like thyme or rosemary, where it's like, we've used this too much. Like, we need to now take the herbs out. You know, it's like not unpleasant, but it's really not supposed to be there. Mm-hmm. What would we pair this with as far as food is concerned?
Light and easy, not much. Maybe a salad. I feel like it's going to stand up to a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's a fruit cocktail.
Speaking
of fruit in a can,
yeah,
you know, maybe I think it is you could. Just, you know, you're having it with, ooh, like melon with prosciutto.
Mm. I was just going to say that.
That's delicious.
They have this thing in champagne called ratafia. You ever hear that? And it's like after you make champagne, it's like the other wine that comes from it that they don't use to make champagne, like the other grapes. And they make it into a dessert wine and they actually like core a melon. And just like have little melon balls with prosciutto and then like they fill it with ratafia. So it's like this sweet, salty, like melon dessert thing.
This would be great for that.
This would be great with some melon and prosciutto.
Yeah.
I don't think I would want it by itself. Just on like a hot day. This would not be like refreshing. You know?
It could be, you know what I'm thinking? Mm-hmm. I'm thinking this is a wine that someone is buying locally in Armenia or whatever locally, but it's definitely like a sunshine. Is Armenia sunny?
I mean, in the summer.
But I am imagining where this is a wine that you're buying that comes from your local winemaker, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, and that you just always have bottles in the fridge, mm-hmm, and you are spending the afternoon, your Sunday afternoon, it's just you. You're going to open this bottle. You're going to have your melon wrapped in prosciutto, mm-hmm, and you're just going to sort of drink that, have your melon wrapped prosciutto, reading your book.
Oh my God.
In the shade of a tree, you know.
Yeah.
Easy, uncomplicated afternoon.
Uncomplicated afternoon. Okay. So who this? I think this person is comfortable. This wine.
Like they're having low-key Sunday afternoons. Yeah. I want that in my life.
Yeah, they're a cozy person. Like you just like, you can be in a room and not speak and you guys would be good for hours. Like this person is very comfortable.
Mm-hmm. I feel like they're a bookworm. Like they love to like mm-hmm. sit in the sunny window, mm-hmm. curl up with a book.
Yeah.
A glass of wine.
Old soul. So like, you know.
And maybe where people don't necessarily get them. You know, mm-hmm. because they are a little funky. They yeah. can be.
Or they're mm-hmm. quiet they're and they quiet, don't know why they're not and out the same in the community.
They're not mainstream. Mm-hmm. They don't, mm-hmm. you know, aspire or necessarily follow all the trends. Mm-hmm. And sometimes think outside the box. And so people are a little confused by them sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, they're very quiet. They keep to themselves. But they're not bland by any means.
No. Yeah.
I'm feeling like Charlotte or Claudine or something that's like very kind of like, you know, refined but relaxed. And I don't know.
I feel like this person, the only way they get upset is when someone puts like, you know, like something, I don't know, glass in the cardboard recycling bin. You know, that really grinds their gears, but they still don't say anything because they're like, it's okay. We're all trying our best. You know, like, I don't know if that's a Claudine. I want to say, what's another version of like Marianne? Marguerite.
Marguerite is nice. I feel like it's just like a little twist on. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't sing, though. It's not like
this wine sing?
Yeah, I guess.
The point, Marguerite is too dainty.
Right, for right.
This, which, like I've mentioned, smells like a brewery or, I mean, smells like fruit cocktail out of a can or, like mm-hmm. it has a robustness there.
What about Brin?
Yeah, that's good.
Right? Like a Brin. Like you're like, okay, that's pretty strange, but also like. Mm. It fits you. Could be old, could be young.
I like it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think Brin is definitely going to serve this wine and at some very small gathering that she may have. Mm-hmm.
That she didn't plan to have, by the way. She just had this wine in her fridge. Yeah, yeah. Brin is friends with a lot of extroverts because they
bring her out of her shell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they show up at her house unannounced, which annoys her.
But not enough to say anything.
Get out.
Right, right.
And so she's like, well, I was having my little lazy Sunday afternoon and I opened this bottle. Do you want some?
Right.
And everyone's like, well, this is very different.
And Bryn's just like,
Do we like the wine?
I buy it down the street.
I do like this wine, actually.
Would I buy this wine? No. If I tasted it at a tasting. Mm. I find it would be difficult to pair with things, and it is, I think, alienating. I could easily alienate
Yeah, it comes
others.
Across kind of like, I think it's dry, but I feel like there is that sweetness of the like
beery
fruit cocktail yeah. and like a little whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah, I feel like it's, yeah, I don't dislike it, but yeah, I'm not a big fan of it.
I would totally pour a glass of this and be very happy with a good book because I think this would like I would be in the world of this book and this would bring me out and be like, oh,
Mm-hmm. All right.
I'm reading a book.
It stays interesting.
It's intriguing. It's like
it is interesting.
Bit of a palate cleanser while you're like in some other world, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is a book reading wine.
Yeah, it stays interesting as you drink it. Right. Definitely. Every sip, you're okay. It doesn't just kind of disappear.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, Bryn. Bryn. What you reading?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I think is Bryn as a person.
Right.
Where she's quiet, mm-hmm. but surprises you.
Right. Like you had dinner plans and then Bryn shows up and like, I don't know, like.
Oh, I meant in terms of how the things she says insights.
Okay.
Yeah, like she'll just like have some little quips out of nowhere. And you're like, that's amazing or hilarious.
She's so incredibly this is like intelligent.
When our friend quotes like, I don't know, like, what do we call him on this podcast? Michter. Like quotes poetry and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm never going to quote poetry.
Well, you're not Michter, are you?
I'm not Michter and not that culture.
You're a felony.
Wow.
Felony.
I didn't mean like, you know, like, now that it came out, I'm like, well, you're not like.
I love it though. I'm
felony. Felony, you know, like.
I'm felony. It was fantastic. Yeah. Don't you dare take that away from me.
Some banana all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this is it. Oh. Yes, this is why this is
oh
a great
my god, good
book
one,
reading.
Yeah,
good one. That's a banana. That's banana.
This is definitely Bryn, who is quiet, and you sort of think you know what she's all about.
And then she serves you a bowl of runts with bananas.
And then she surprises you with her knowledge of something.
Yeah, no, I think she's an overnight oats kind of gal.
Yeah, but I think she's got runts in the cupboard.
Yes, because she's
like all
surprising.
Over the place. Exactly.
She likes what she likes. She spends her time learning about things that she likes, and they are divergent and complete opposites. And I think that she doesn't project all of those things all the time. And so people are surprised by a lot of things that she may know or be interested in or, you know, really have knowledge about.
I feel like if you like interrupted her morning, she'd be eating hagelslag, you know, that like sprinkles that the Dutch eat.
No.
Oh my God, you guys never had this.
No.
It's means like hail, and it's like fat chocolate sprinkles that the Dutch put on their toast in the morning. It's like they have dessert
amazing.
For breakfast.
Can I have this, please?
Yeah. Oh, I get it on Amazon. You can order it.
Okay, great.
But I feel like that, like, you'd walk in and you're like, what are you doing? She's like, oh, it's just hagelslag, you know.
Why not?
Not a big deal.
For a moment there, I was thinking we were talking about a person who you are friends with that introduced you to this. And not this fictional Bryn character that is the wine we're talking about.
Now we're getting a couple dimensions too deep for me to follow.
I know, it's a little bit too
deep. Yeah, I'm happy with Bryn.
Yeah.
That's solid.
You've kind of sold me on it now. Now I...
You see it, right? There's the imagery.
Yeah. How expensive is Bryn?
Yeah,
I will guess.
You found it in the corner.
It was in the corner.
Again, off the beaten path.
Right.
One of the oldest winemaking...
Region in the world.
Mm-hmm. You know, they may not know their value or they know it very well. And
It was the only bottle.
I'm going to go 20.
Okay.
16.
22.
Ooh. Okay. So we're going to. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Again, it's like one of those where you're like, people who are adventurous are willing to try it, but yeah, it's going to not move off the shelves. You can't have it be too expensive.
Right.
But I feel like, again, I don't think it's my favorite wine, but it was a well-balanced, like, had interesting characteristics. So definitely worth a $22.
I think I would pair this with, like, a nice, like, I would sit to read my book and I'd have, like, you know, like, Cracker Barrel cheddar out. And I would just, you know, like, be in my glee. Like, I feel like it would just go really well with my sharp cheese or, like, a Gouda.
I have some
or like Doritos,
Colby Jack my God. In the fridge. If we wanted to have, some
I actually
that.
Feel like Doritos would go
okay,
really
but, okay. No,
like the cheese, not yeah, nacho cheese,
nacho
not
cheese,
Cool Ranch
Doritos, not Cool Ranch. No one buys that.
I mean, buy I, that, love, you're a I love cool. I love me some Cool Ranch, but not
but
with
a
this
whole
wine.
Bag.
Oh no, I mean I don't know when I last bought Doritos. Period. Okay. But I feel like you used to get the little baggies with your fruit cocktail in your lunch.
and it was this wine.
And it was perfect.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Sounds like a wonderful Sunday afternoon.
Cool Ranch might go really, better with this.
A little with that, yeah.
That little, like, tangy thing going on.
Yeah. I think any Dorito would maybe hit this wine just fine.
And, you know, I was saying I wouldn't necessarily buy it, but that's because I'm buying typically to drink with a group of friends who are not necessarily wine enthusiasts like the two of you. Now, if it was knowing I'm drinking it with the two of you, then I think this is perfect. Because it's interesting. Yeah. It has a lot of layers. And we could sip this all afternoon and keep discovering different notes as it, you know, changes over the afternoon.
I would agree with that. The banana is, that was a great note.
All right.
All right. Well, cheers to Bryn from Armenia.
Bryn. I am so excited to try this with the two of you. I bought this when I went to Valle de Guadalupe this past year in the spring. My cousin arranged the trip. It was 12 of us. And this winery we went to on the third day, first winery of the day in the morning at 11 a.m. after 3 days of wine hopping. And I just really loved it. So yeah, different area. Valle de Guadalupe is actually producing 90% of all of the wine in Mexico. Not all the wine drank, obviously, but 90% of the wine production in Mexico. It's in Baja California, which is very close to San Diego and the south of California to the U.S. So there's a lot of tourism. It's sort of really grown in the past dozen years. So in 2010, there was about 60 wineries there. Mm-hmm. And at around 2020, it had doubled to, or more than doubled to 150. So a really exciting region. So maybe a little bit more wine production at the moment than Hungary and Armenia, maybe. I don't know the volume, I guess. But really exciting. So I'm excited to see what you think.
Yeah. What's the name of the winery again?
So this is Lechuza, and it stands for Little Owl, I think, from what I understand. They had a cute story about it at the winery, which of course now I've completely forgotten and couldn't find it online.
Sure, yeah.
And the wine that we're tasting is called Pluma, and it's 100% Nebbiolo. And I think we went to probably 15 vineyards.
Wow, that's a lot.
It was an intense weekend, but because she planned it so beautifully, this was one of my favorite ones. It traveled all the way back with me.
I'm curious, do you remember anything specific about the vineyard itself? Like, was it like particularly slopey? Did it have like different color like rocks? Like, do you remember anything?
So Valle de Guadalupe, it is, there's a hills on one side that are rocks, basically, and then the valley is a valley. So it does tend to be flatter with some sloping. What I recall from this vineyard was that it was more flat.
Yeah.
Where we were sitting, having the wines under vines in the vineyard in the beautiful sunshine at 11 a.m.
Yeah. Sounds wonderful.
In buckets of ice, basically. And when I bought the wine, they actually didn't have any labels available. And so they had to just hand mark the bottle for us.
That's awesome.
That we took with us. Yeah.
All right. Nebbiolo from Mexico.
Oh, boy.
Who knew?
Here we go.
Yeah.
What does it smell like to you?
I was saying it smelled like a Macy's perfume section, but in a good way. Like you walk and you're like, I'm going to buy some shit here. Like, I'm going to spend some money. It smells like the anticipation of getting something new, you know? Like,
but yeah, it's also a little bit like purses, like new purses.
Like it smells like a Macy's store. Yeah,
I think that's a really nice descriptor. But also, yeah, really deep, dark fruit. Very like ripe.
Yeah.
Blackberries or something.
You guys can't see it, but it's like this really inky red.
Very opaque.
Yeah.
And yeah, some staining on the glass already. Yeah. Red to like black.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's basically black.
All right.
Very fruity smells, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's taste it.
If Macy's is listening, this is the wine you need to just like sell.
It's really, to me, Nebbiolo from Italy is so like, the acid just comes out and attacks you. And this is not that. It's a much more like balanced, and like there's fruit, there's acid, there's some tannin, but yeah, it's not like a punch in the face, which I find Italian Nebbiolo at this young of age can often be.
Yeah, so that's curious. I forgot we were drinking a Nebbiolo. Mm-hmm. Like, I would almost put this in the family of like a Syrah or like Shiraz or something like that. Mm. Like darker fruit. It's almost kind of datey.
Yeah, like, dates. Definitely. Yeah, right? I like that.
And Nebbiolo is classically known for tar and roses. Like, those are the two like aroma profiles you normally get. And I don't know that I get any of that.
I think the roses is coming through. I think petals. That's a little bit the perfuminess.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely much more, yeah, like luscious fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Licorice.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, and I sort of also taste a chocolate, but mm-hmm. it was like more of a liqueur of chocolate.
Yeah, I get that. Like, or even like a dark chocolate, like that baker's chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like that slight bitter.
The cacao. We can't even call it chocolate. It's cacao.
Or even, I would say, one of my favorite other candies is chocolate-covered raisins or fruit of some kind.
Because you do it's get a little circle. Raisinated.
Yeah, it's definitely raisinated.
Because, again, it's... So I guess, is it really hot? Like, I think of most of Mexico as being quite hot. Is this a more temperate area in Mexico, or do they have a cooling, do you know?
These are questions I don't know the answer to.
Just curious. Well, like, when you were there...
Specifically, but it is a California, Baja California climate. Yes. So I think dry, and I think something... I would imagine something to do with the hills and where... It mm-hmm. rains or doesn't rain. With
or like the rain shadow effect, right? So we're thinking like, what's that other place? What's that famous place? Alsace. Oregon. Like it has its own climate.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying it was flat too. So it's probably like right at the bottom. Probably doesn't get any intense rain.
Yes, the official description is, I'm impressed that what I said was pretty right.
Yeah.
The vineyards are planted at altitudes between 1,000 feet and 1,250 feet, mostly on flat plains surrounded by hills. The area has a Mediterranean climate thanks to the proximity of the Pacific Ocean immediately to the west and the Gulf of California to the east.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. Yeah. Like, I mean, I think it's still, there's plenty of sun and heat, get these ripe fruit flavors, mm-hmm. but it's not, but there's some temperateness from the ocean as well as that altitude is going to give them a little.
I'm so curious, because I'm thinking of, Nebbiolo that would even come close to this, and it still doesn't have the kind of body like Gattinara, like this region in Italy, like very north. It has like altitude. It has some kind of, but like the fruit like that tastes like this to me, but less.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's less luscious.
What do you think this would pair well to eat?
I feel like this could go great with some carnitas.
I was going to say, I was literally going to say birria tacos.
Yeah.
Like, or like, I feel like barbacoa.
Yeah. Really, you know, nice. Juicy, meaty-ness mm-hmm. would be good.
I was actually in a complete different direction thinking a chocolate torte or volcano cake or some dark chocolate.
Yeah, I think that'd
be
nice.
Or like a mole was what I was going for.
Mole like a could mole. Be delicious,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, like, okay, hear me out. Like a pumpkin or butternut squash, like cannellone, like topped with like mole, chocolate mole. Mm. I'm so hungry.
Yes. I think it's important that we don't overeat before we have this podcast.
Yeah.
But also eat enough that we have a foundation.
Right. For we can follow the rules. What a little treat.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like this. So who is this?
Don't feel like you have to like it because, you know, I trekked it all the way back from Valle in a suitcase wrapped in plastic air blown up. Protection chambers in my suitcase.
I think it's a delight. If someone were to say, oh, by the way, that's Nebbiolo, I wouldn't believe them.
Right, yeah.
Like, I think it's a really lovely expression of the grape that we so often don't see.
I love that I've surprised you. I have managed to surprise
right.
you.
Right.
Person is a surprise.
Mm.
But they're also luscious.
I know.
Mm. I mean, if you were going to say... This reminds me of you, Melanie Felony. I wouldn't be upset by that.
I don't know. I feel like you would need
chocolate wrapped
a bit blueberry. More like herbaceousness if you were a wine, right? Like, I feel like you'd be like a chef's
more.
Wine, you know?
Mm. Mm. Not angry at that description either.
Yeah. So, Melanie, who do you think this is?
I do think that it is, for me, this wine gives me all the things that I really enjoy without any excuses. So I am imagining someone like myself who, and in the sense that they enjoy food, they enjoy wine, and they will go for that delicious thing every single time.
So me.
Sure.
Yeah. You know that dark chocolate thing, that like chocolatey thing that's happening? That's really throwing me off because I want there to be more like tannin and it's just like smooth.
See, this like is what suave. This is exactly what I mean.
Yeah.
Right? Because you have the friend when you go to dinner.
Right.
And the friend is like, shall we get a salad? And I'm like, oh my God. No. Just get the
thing. Just get the thing you want to get. Get like your heart's desire.
Getting a goddamn salad and paying $20 for it. Let's just get all the delicious things. We're at this restaurant. To me, that's this wine.
That yeah, okay. So it's like YOLO.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But in an exquisite way. Like this person.
Yes, obviously, as I am.
Sure. This person enjoys the finer things in life and is really, they don't have a fitness tracker. They're not like, they are like, kind of marching to the beat of their own drum. They are of a specific like esteem, right? Because Nebbiolo is like,
yeah, they're like
Nebbiolo.
They're suave. They're like smooth. And they also don't
obviously ascribe to having to fit in with whatever like, that is defined as.
Yeah, they're their own grape.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I have no idea. Is it that we're out of practice or that these wines are just really unique?
They're very unique. And I think that's why it's difficult, because I think with other ones, we've had a preconceived idea or notion of who's drinking them or, you know, where they fit in. And these are completely different. They're from completely different areas. They taste completely differently. Mm-hmm. So we sort of have to think a little bit more outside of the box.
Okay, so what is this person's hobbies?
Going out to fancy restaurants.
Okay, that's me.
See, I was going to say, this wine is basically me. No. Like photography or something. That's both artistic, but like kind of, you know, we all know.
When observational. It's observational art. Mm-hmm. You're never participating in the art. Mm. You are capturing it.
Oh my God.
Going away. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I feel like this wine thinks they're above the law.
Yes.
Right? The law of Nebbiolo, the law of tarry roses. Like, this is a wine that's a little criminal.
A rebel without a cause.
There's a little criminality in this wine.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's very dark.
A little bit of a bad boy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're like, I'm going to have my cake and eat it too.
Right. Yeah.
I don't have tannins. I don't want them. I just want to have all of the delicious.
Yeah, this is a wine that shows up and it's like, oh, it's a bow tie event or a tie event and they're not wearing a tie. And you're like, goddamn. Okay, but you look so good that it's not.
Doesn't matter.
Like, doesn't matter, right? But also, I feel like this person would like evade taxes.
You know who I'm thinking of? You know what I mean?
Like, it's not like there's some criminality to this wine.
You know who I'm thinking of? That is Taika Waititi. Is that his last name? Waititi or, Waititi.
What?
Oh, you don't know. That is
come again.
Y-T-T?
Isn't he like a director?
Yeah, he's a director, actor in Star Wars and What We Do in the Shadows. He's like in so many things now, and he has, I don't know if it's his stylist that's doing this, but he has incredible style. And if I can find his Met Gala outfit. You will see what I mean.
Okay. I know who you're talking about. But like, I feel like this person doesn't need to have him. Is not going to go to the Met Gala.
Sure.
They're above that. They're in Ibiza right now. Like,
I don't know. Basic. I guess no. I just feel like
Okay, wait a minute.
I don't know. I feel like they're not like this, like, world travel, like they maybe travel the world, but I don't feel like they're going to all the ritzy, like high-end spots. So I think along similarly, like, yeah, they're not a Met Gala person. They're more a like normal level person, not like a celebrity or a rich person. But like, but they have just this mannerism of like, they walk in the room and everyone notices them. And they're like, is that a celebrity? And they're right. Like, no, it's a nobody.
So what you're describing is a cult leader. Right? Try the wine again. Just okay. Try the wine again. Hear me out. You're on board. You're like Nebbiolo from Mexico. Yeah, sure. Okay. I'll sign
up. I'm going to need a little more to get into this cult mode.
Into the cult mode.
I'm sticking with that.
Yeah.
What's the name of a cult leader?
They're saying all of the things you want to hear.
And it's profound and it's deep and it's like.
And you sort of see them and you expect this one thing, but then they're this, you know. Mm-hmm. Other thing, and they think laws don't apply to them.
Right.
I don't know.
But they're not necessarily malicious yet.
I'm weirdly thinking of like Puss in Boots, like the cartoon. What? Just like, because you know they're like, everyone just loves them and they can never die because they have multiple lives. And it's Antonio Banderas. And I just feel like it fits with like what we're talking about. Like everyone will follow them. However, whatever they say, whatever they do.
Yeah, Puss in Boots, but probably like a little edgier.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. But like, but I feel like he's was pretty edgy. That's what I'm saying.
Puss in Boots.
Like,
have you watched it recently? Because I think that you don't know Puss in Boots. Like, would you date Puss in Boots?
Yes. No. See, there we go.
I think we could expand our definitions to include fictional characters. I mean, we are talking.
It is all fiction.
Well, I'm not. Yes. I mean, this, yeah, I'm not saying it's not saying it is Puss in Boots, but like it's in the realm of like that kind of charisma and like characteristics.
Yeah, but
like I am.
This person is most likely to create "quote unquote" intentional communities. This wine is like.
I love that definition.
I don't know. I feel like that's putting too much.
Well, it sounds good, right? But it's a cult, Melanie.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, I don't want to put negativity on this wine.
It's not negative.
I like it too much. Oh. No, cults are negative.
No, hold on. Okay, so if we're going to become that kind of podcast, it all starts out with people wanting to belong, right, and be a part of something. Mm-hmm. That's not inherently negative. And this wine doesn't have to be negative. I'm just saying they have the magnitude. They draw people.
I like, you know, the cult leader idea.
Vibe. Like, this wine is like, now I'm going to go.
And I feel like I could easily get drawn into some bad. Bad decisions.
Bad decisions.
Wine. Definitely.
I
don't.
Yeah, I think
lack
so.
Of morals would definitely.
It slips, man. It's as slippery as very, this wine.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know right from wrong when I drink this wine.
That doesn't necessarily mean that you were joining a cult. I feel like we're just, you know, under the sway of us.
The person doesn't have to start a cult.
Right.
They
right.
have all of the qualities that, you know, cult leaders have in persuasion and charm. Mm-hmm. And charisma.
Right.
Yeah. All right. But so.
What? Who
what's
this?
The name?
I mean, I was gravitating towards Antonio.
Antonio. I kind of like that.
No.
Why not?
Because I'm thinking of Puss in Boots and it's not that, you know? It's not. It's like, this is like a Malcolm.
Ugh.
This is, no. No, like, but you
No, would, Malcolm? I'm like, no, you don't. Yeah. No.
That's too book nerdy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Malcolm also like knows like, but Malcolm isn't called Malcolm.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
So what's his?
I don't know, whatever, like, I don't know, the Mel? Prophet?
The prophet? Yeah, okay.
I don't know.
This wine is not as smooth as an Antonio because there has to be some stubble.
So smooth.
There has to be some stubble on an Antonio. There's no stubble on this wine. There's no tannin. There's no like little grippy.
Oh, you know, I'm thinking but Oscar
Isaac. Maybe it's Antonia.
You know, all the word, all the.
Maybe
all Oscar. The one, Oscar.
Oscar.
I would do
I
an
like Oscar.
Oscar. I would do
yeah,
an Oscar.
Oscar's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I could see Oscar. An Oscar. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oscar, where will you lead?
Mm-hmm. How much do you guys think I paid for this?
I don't know. I'm going to say like 40.
Mm-hmm. 28.
Ooh, you guys are really good. It was 35.
Oh, right in the middle.
Yeah, because I feel like it's, you know, the deep, nice wine. Like, they're not, and I'm sure they're not making huge volumes.
Right.
So they're going to have to give it a decent price. Mm-hmm. I'm very happy with this for $35. And plus the transport import fees.
Right, exactly. Transport import fees. I mean,
we got to, like, cut those out of the glass.
Oh, man. Yeah, okay. All right. To Oscar.
To Oscar. We will follow you anywhere.
May you live a long life.
Of our three wines, what would you go back to?
If I can recap all three again. We had Lucas, which was a little salty, lemony, effervescent, surprising, and duplicitous, but in a good way.
Ooh. Yeah.
Then we had Bryn, who was unexpected, quiet, but a lot of deep flavors that surprise you.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have Oscar, who is all of the best things, charismatic, deep, attractive.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also one of those, like, too much of a good thing. You know, there's something. Right. Something.
Like, can Oscar be alone with himself?
He is too much of a good thing, right. Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And we all love it. So guess which one I like.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to stay up to date on our new episodes. And follow us on Instagram @newwinewhodispod.